Once, during the auditor's report to the finance committee, the accounting firm said that they were obliged by Sarbanes-Oxley to ask whether, as officers of the organization, we, gathered there, were aware of any fraud here at the Church of St. Michael and St. George. And at that moment, the junior warden at the time spoke up and said, well, who knows? If there is no God, the whole thing is a fraud. Now, I might add that this paralyzed the auditors at that moment. But I've often thought that that is how the world lives. Most of the time, most of the modern world lives as if there is no God. No eye in the sky, maker of rules, as those great theologians, the Alan Parsons Project, put it. No higher power, no God and Father of all, just us chickens. And in the midst of this settled, all-contained, hermetically sealed world, we come to church and hear this astounding story of Jesus at work in the world. But it sure seems like a world other than the one in which we live, this world that Mark tells us about this morning. You see, we live in a world where we don't think of illness as susceptible to simple words of healing. And most of the healing that does get done in our world happens at Barnes Jewish, Missouri Baptist, or St. Luke's. Most of us think of Jesus as a great teacher or a good friend. But Jesus as a physician? Jesus the miraculous healer? Now that's a reach for us. And let's be honest, it's a reach for us because we are modern people. And as modern people, we think we live at the most insightful, most progressive, most enlightened of all times. We now know what causes leprosy, the sort of leprosy that struck this poor man in Mark's gospel this morning. And we really don't want to hear about Jesus coming in and healing folk because it's embarrassing. We live in a world that's so knowledgeable about so many things, so open and receptive to all points of view. Or do we? The foundation of the modern world is the assumption that we live in a closed universe where there's no possibility of intrusion from the outside. We live in a cause and effect machine of a world in which if you do this, you'll always get that. We don't look for causes of our problems someplace other than right here in this world which we can see and touch. And we don't look for cures to our ills other than right here within our own human resourcefulness. In order to make modern ways of thinking work, the first thing that we are required to do is to think that God cannot or will not engage in any direct action in the world. In the closed modern world, there can be no miracles, for to have miracle would be to upset the arrangement of the world as an orderly, law-abiding place that's safe from any inexplicable events, like the arbitrary healing of lepers. We can't have Jesus striding in among us and healing somebody whose body's been racked by leprosy. You see, I'm wondering if we're uncomfortable with today's gospel, a bit embarrassed by it, not only because it speaks to us from an earlier pre-modern world, but because it really challenges the way we are conditioned to make sense out of the world. We just don't know how to think about events such as those that occurred that day in Capernaum. So in a very real way, these stories are an affront to our intelligence, our ways of thinking about what's what. No, our way of thinking is to make lists and labels and diagnose people and solve problems. But a solved life is a reduced life. And in the process, we have become a tightly buttoned up people, never taking great risks of faith or wholly giving ourselves over to anyone. We deny or ignore the mysteries and diminish human existence into what can be managed, controlled, and fixed. We live in a cult of experts who explain and solve. This vast technological apparatus around us gives us the impression that there's a tool for everything if we can only just afford it. And in that world, the church is left with the role of assuaging the inconveniences of affluence. Perhaps our thinking is not the problem, except as our thinking is often the unconscious means of attempting to control the world, attempting to keep matters closed and sealed and shut. If we can convince ourselves that our efforts are the only efforts, our acts are the only actions, then we can run the place pretty much as we please. But what if the Holy One of God named Jesus should intrude into these closed modern arrangements with a power that is free from our attempts to close it and contain it, to get our way rather than letting God have God's way? Now, of course, the trouble is that this is where you think I come in. You expect me to be an expert in making mystery explicable. That's why you thought I went to seminary and studied and ponder theology, so I can explain this to you. And so many of my sermons are an attempt to take this strange, unbelievable stuff and make it easier for you to deal with. He didn't really heal the leper. He helped him better cope with his illness. He didn't say, be clean. He said, don't be mean. Jesus was helping the leper deal with his anxiety, and Mark was mishearing it, that sort of thing. That's most of my preaching. Well, forget it. I can't put this stuff down on the bottom shelf for you. I can't make it more accessible for you. I can't make it more accessible for myself. We have got mystery here. Even after we've done our best to interpret it and understand it, there is still a considerable distance between us and this story. We have it in our heads that our church is where we come to get close to God. Yet particularly when you're face to face with a gospel lesson like the one we've heard this morning, you feel a certain distance from this God. And how do you like that? How do you feel having a sovereign, free God who is independent of us and our desires and what we know to be? We are conditioned as modern folk to think that we are completely equipped to understand all the mysteries, comprehend everything. But if Jesus is truly the Son of God, as Mark's gospel proclaims him to be, then there are going to be times, and I maintain they will be the best of times, when we are going to feel distant from God. And it's in that gap between what we know for sure and this Jesus in whom we meet God. It's in that mystery, that gap, that we are given room to roam and space to become more than we thought ourselves capable of. For the gospel is always about the replacement of a sickly, known, death-dealing old order with a new order of unimagined possibilities like healing and resurrection. Oh, it's fine to try and talk about the gospel in language that people can understand. But the trouble with a story like the one we've heard this morning is it is about a good deal more than restating something in a new way. This gospel wants to talk about something that we find impossible to imagine without a world that Jesus gives us. It talks about a reality that isn't simply awaiting redescription, but a reality that we barely can even imagine. A reality that is external. A reality that comes upon us. And so we hear this story, the story of the healing of the leper. And we immediately want to talk about miracles. And are miracles possible? And do you believe in miracles? And do I believe in miracles? Trouble is, Jesus never uses the word miracle once in any of the Gospels. Scripture just calls the place we live creation. God created it, he made it all, and there's no telling what he's going to do next and where he's going to do it. You see, our Bible doesn't give us a lot of language for talking about God's limited power and authority. the way we like to think about God acting. Well, God couldn't possibly get mixed up with me here. Scripture gives us no room to talk about that. There is a new culture being engendered here, a culture that looks at things very differently. As the theologian Walter Brueggemann once said, through these words you make new worlds. And then he added, and if you won't let God use you to make a new world, then all you can do is service the old one, and that's no fun. Expecting no miracles, we usually get none. And that means that most of the work of the church comes down in this world to servicing the old world. Most of our work is given over to dealing with people who are sick. Now, of course, our culture has medicated all of us, and by that I mean we have come to describe all of our dilemmas as the dilemmas of illness, of sickness, and it gives a great status to those who are sick. The trouble with our health establishment is that by the time it finished working on us, we're all sick. I heard a physician the other day say that a well person who is someone who has not been adequately diagnosed by us. But the church is describing a different world. Oh, yes, maybe you thought church was like garden club or single-issue politics, the right side of this, the left side of that. No. The church is that ragtag bunch of people who have been called forth to listen to this weird story this morning. A story that includes tales of a God that is free and sovereign and unstable, not leaving us to our own devices, but healing us, dealing out new life like cards from a deck. That day in Capernaum, new, incredible, free, a frightening new world was being construed by this healer named Jesus. And we are the people who week by week hear these weird stories about Syrian army generals who are healed by God and foreign dignitaries who are healed by God and lepers who are cleansed by God and tombs that are opened and dead who are raised up by God and wombs that bear fruit thanks to God. It is weird. It is certainly countercultural. And in the process, we become the people of this weird God. A different people. Robert Jensen, who has preached here in Holy Week, once said, the main difference between a living God and a dead God is that a living God can still surprise us. Amen.